The Canadian Journalists for Free Expression moderated a discussion between independent media in Montreal and the Montreal Police Network to facilitate cooperation between the two groups, as misunderstandings often arise during demonstrations and protests. The journalists are often not fairly treated by police as they're attempting to report on the event, violence and injury included, something that goes against the principle of human rights and free expression. Instances of this include the 2012 student strikes against raising tuition, where the Montreal police used tear gas and concussion grenades against the students. Unsurprisingly, the journalists were caught in between and suffered police beatings and arrests. There's a number of independent journalists' accounts of being kettled and attacked during protests just because they didn't look believable enough for the police. In most cases, the Global Research of Canada notes, they did have their media IDs and they did communicate with police beforehand to inform them about their presence. Although Montreal journalists have indeed had a special relationship with the police, there's instances like this happening in other places across Canada as well. Toronto is a good example, as independent media members had to go to great lengths to ensure their safety during the G20 summit in 2010. The Toronto Star journalists even made up a protest tip sheet to instruct media how to dress and behave as the riot police were using gas on protesters. Following, you will hear an interview that CQUT conducted with Tom Hanheffer from Canadian Journalists for Free Expression to learn more about the meeting that would hopefully improve the relationship between the journalists of Montreal and the Montreal police. My name is Katarina. Stay with CQUT 90.3 FM. So CQUT Radio got a chance today to talk to Tom Hanheffer from Canadian Journalists for Free Expression. Hello, Tom. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you. So could you tell me a little about this meeting that Canadian Journalists for Free Expression moderated between the members of Montreal Independent Media and Montreal Police on September 21st? What was that based on?
A small group of independent journalists had reached out to me a couple of months ago, and basically their wit's end. They were trying to cover protests, the student protests in Montreal, and they were having a very hard time with it because the police would block their access. They'd kettle them. They were being arbitrarily arrested and processed and held in prison for upwards of 9 or 10 hours without any charges. They were being picketed, and worst of all, they were being assaulted, shot with rubber bullets, hit with tear gas, all of those terrible things. So they reached out to us because they'd reached out to other organizations before who were either unwilling or unable to help them. So they came to us and asked for help, and we decided that the best way to move forward was to have a conversation with the police. We figured that the two sides really weren't that far apart, but they had a very acrimonious relationship. Sitting down and showing everyone that we're all reasonable people, we all want the same thing, which is, to be able to peacefully cover these protests so that everyone's rights are respected and no one's put in danger. And that's exactly what we did, is sat down to have that conversation.
All right. As far as I know, Canadian Journalists of Free Expression are not based in Montreal. They're based in Toronto, right? So do you moderate many of these discussions often, like when these issues arise? Do you participate in them in other cities of Canada?
This is the first time we've dealt with this specifically in Montreal. We are a Canada-wide organization, so we certainly have an interest in Montreal. We have members in Montreal. You're right, we're headquartered in Toronto. So we dealt with similar issues during the G20. But personally, this is the first time that I've sat down and moderated something like this between journalists and the police. Mm-hmm. Although we've certainly, we're no strangers to speaking to government officials and lobbying and things like that. This is just another extension of that work that we do.
So has there been any other misunderstanding in other cities of Canada happening like that with police and independent journalists, or it's only the Montreal that's facing this kind of problem?
Yeah, the problem in Montreal actually goes back fairly far. It's gotten really bad in the last few years, but it's the journalists and the police have had a difficult relationship for quite a long time. The other examples of something like this would be the Toronto G20, where exactly the same tactics were used and where journalists were rounded up indiscriminately with protesters. There are other instances. CJFB actually sued the Ontario government, and we're now in the process of settling out of court over police impersonating journalists at protests. So police are actually dressing as journalists, telling people they were journalists, doing interviews with people, videotaping it, going and standing with groups of journalists and videotaping from where they were standing, which is a very dangerous practice. It does very little to actually help the police or help gather information, but it massively damages people's free expression because it makes it so people are unwilling to talk to journalists. So it hurts the credibility of journalists and of the Fifth Estate, which is such an important pillar in our society. And it's even more difficult because it really hurts disadvantaged groups who often don't have a voice. The groups that would be out there protesting are the ones who often benefit the most from coverage from the media. And if journalists are impersonating police and these groups are unwilling to speak to the media to get their message out, it really does damage to our entire society because they're not able to have their voices heard.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds pretty bad. So you said has been a long history in Montreal, particularly with police and independent journalists. What do you connect it with? What are the factors that are influencing this particularly?
I think really what it comes down to is different priorities for the two groups. I think that the police feel that it is, they do have a respect for people's rights, but they feel like their job is to protect businesses and infrastructure and to keep the peace, and that anything threatening that supersedes free expression rights. Whereas journalists see these protests as something that they have a right to beat at and to cover, and they see the police as an obstacle in that way. And what we did with this meeting was try and show the two groups that they can work together, that journalists aren't a risk for police. They're not a threat, and that they will, you know, behave appropriately and not interfere with the work of police. Because there have been some instances where journalists have gone too far and have become an obstruction. And on the journalist side, to see that the police aren't their enemies, and that everyone is there. They want to keep the peace, and the journalists want to act professionally and be able to report things at a safe distance. So that is really what came out of the meeting. The meeting was extremely positive. Both sides agreed the journalists, they would follow all the police orders, that they would act professionally, and that they wouldn't obstruct the police in their work. The police agreed to grant the journalists access so long as they're acting appropriately, and to give the journalists a list of ground rules in terms of what they can and can't do in protests, and also to train them in police tactics so that they know when the police would be marching in, or when arrests will start, or when they'll start kettling people, things like that, so that they can get out of the way.
So you mentioned the ground rules to minimize the chance of becoming a target during these demonstrations. Could you give examples of what those ground rules could be?
Well, the police actually haven't. We're still waiting on the police to send them to us. So we need to find out what that is. But there'll be some of the things. That one example would be that journalists don't obstruct police officers' view. Another one would be that they ensure they comply with any order the police give on the ground, whether they agree with it or not. Another one would be establishing specific distances and things like that, that journalists have to be, say, from someone being arrested or from a kettle. And also the police also agreed to do certain things, such as in certain instances, the police would kettle a group of protesters and then there would be journalists outside of the kettle covering it, which is where they're supposed to be. And police would go out, get the journalists and put them into the kettle. And the police agreed that that's something that shouldn't happen. And that was a mistake. And probably the most important thing to come out of the meeting was the fact that they exchanged phone numbers. So now all the journalists have the head of communications phone number. So they run in, and the head of communications and the head of operations for the police have the journalist numbers. So if either side runs into problems, they can contact them and seek a resolution.
Okay, that sounds like more or less a good solution. So are the big media corporations dealing with this same problem, or they don't have this issue?
No, they do have the same issues, but they also have unions and professional associations representing them, whereas these independent media groups don't. Okay. So that was the focus of this. The idea here is to help everyone, all journalists, not just independent journalists in Montreal, but everybody. So this was just specifically meant for these guys because they weren't benefiting from the same dialogue that had been ongoing between the unions and the professional associations. So we went into that. And one of the biggest differences between the independent media and the mainstream media is that the police simply weren't granting them access. She would let the mainstream media go in and cover protests, whereas the independent media would be kept forced out. So that's something that they've agreed to change.
All right. And my last question would be about the, you know, the policy on the federal level when there's a violation of human rights and independent journalists wanting to record a conversation or a demonstration. So is there some kind of a, you know, policy that says what they have to do or what they can do?
That's exactly what they're working on, is building this list of ground rules for journalists to follow, which will inform them specifically on what they can do. I mean, it is the fact of the matter is anyone, whether they're a journalist or not, has a right to record these protests. You have a right to photograph and to record and videotape, and in Canada, anywhere in a public space. So they have the right to do this. The question is, they just need to do it safely, because there are limits on those rights. You can't interfere with police work, for example. So this is really just trying to figure out, to strike that balance on the ground level so that everyone understands what they can and cannot, but everyone can exercise their rights while doing so safely.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for all the information. I guess the last comment that I would ask you to provide is just some information for our listeners to reach the Canadian Journalists for Free Expression if they want to learn more.
They can follow us on Twitter at CanadaCJFE, like us on Facebook, CJFE, or head to our website, cjfe.org. There's tons of resources on there.
Great. Thank you very much, Tom. Thank you for your time.